And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Out of fear, out of fear, out of fear, out of fear, out of fear. Here to declare your independence. Turn attack, I refuse to defeat it, Arizona. We're talking to Harry Vox at VoxNews.com. We'll get the full story of what's up and what kind of left me relatively concerned. This was October in 2014. And can you, Harry, you know, welcome back to the show. Thanks for doing the second hour. We got plenty to talk about, but I want you to, you know, you don't have to get hyperbolic and just scare the living crap out of everybody. Of course, that's probably what will happen. But, you know, what I would like is this young man that was there on the TV in 14 and saying, man, you guys got to know this about that, and impassioned and animated, and you need to know. Well, now it's starting to become Harry knew what was up. One, how did you know? And tell us what you know. What does the audience need to know that's happening now that you predicted 6-7 years ago? Go.
Yeah. Well, the audience needs to be plenty scared, so there's no point in, much more scared of, much more vigilant and scared of the police and the authoritarian plans that they have than the epidemic. This is primarily a psychological operation and less so a pandemic. Yes, of course, they have introduced a virus to complement their authoritarian takeover. But this is primarily the installation of a very rigid AI-controlled authoritarian regime. That's what people need to understand about this. And I actually made, one of the things that was missing, and I said this in the video back many years ago, from the toolbox of authoritarian control was quarantines and curfews, you know? And I even was so in a frenzy against it that I made a Facebook group right away called Just Say No to Quarantines and Curfews. Well, Facebook quickly deleted me, but you can still actually find that Facebook group, so that it's up to get notifications, people wanting to join it. It's called Just Say No to Quarantines and Curfews, or Just Say No to Curfews and Quarantines. I'm not sure which order it was, but I made that way back, and because I knew that they want to control our physical bodies. Because you see, I've seen this because I've been I've been arrested. I've gone to jail. I know what it's like to have a bunch of cops grab you, hold you down, lock you up, have your hands tied behind your back and in cuffs, and then in a prison cell. I know the feeling, okay? And all for things that were not worthy of, that didn't deserve it. I'm not a thief. I'm not a drug addict. I wasn't for drugs. I was throwing parties at that time, and they kept on saying, don't throw parties. And I was like, well, you know, I don't know what that means, don't throw parties. So I kept throwing parties, and a lot of people would come, and then they would come and arrest me for this, you know. And I would get arrested every other week. I spent so much time in jail just for throwing large, there was a lot of people at the parties, but still, it was my place, and, you know, I could throw a party. And you can't just come and tell me not to throw a party, right? I mean, I don't see any rules or any laws. They would literally, cops would come, the sergeants would come and say, don't throw any parties. I'm like, where's that in the law books, you know? So I would just, like, I
don't
know.
So say if this here badge backed up by this here gun,
yeah,
you know?
Idiot, yes.
Yeah, I'm, yeah. Okay. Well, so, this is what I want to, before we, because another hour will whiz by, I guarantee it. The presentation on the Rockefeller think tank study that they had put out in, and what got me was they were talking in the past tense. Like this had already happened, you know, and this happened and this happened and this happened. And it was like reading the news of what's going on now, you know, a year or two from now, yep. You know, it was, well, you know, so this is, you, what did you come across? What was the awareness? What did you so impassioned about, you know, people know? Explain it to the audience.
Well, you know, look, I have known since for a long time now that whenever the government does these simulations or these exercises like they did before 9/11, the 22 exercises on the day of 9/11, yeah. Of military exercises, some 22 of them, some of them involving planes slamming into buildings, and then the same day that they have an exercise of planes slamming into buildings, then actual planes slam into buildings, and you know, a thinking person, you know, you only see that scenario happen like four or five times until you say, okay, you know, and then they go, okay, we're going to do an exercise, and they did this in the London bombing, you know, the London subway bombing. Okay, we're going to do an exercise of a terrorist bombing in these two particular stations, and then that same morning where they happened to have been doing that, bombs went off in those stations. So, you know, and then the mainstream media said, oh, nothing to see here, move along. What are you talking about? If you have an exercise, if you have an exercise that morning in two specific subway stations out of hundreds of them, and of bombs going off, and then bombs actually go off, then everybody involved in that exercise needs to be arrested. They need to be imprisoned until they talk, until you find out who did it, right? Same with 9/11. Everybody who was involved in those exercises needed to get rounded up, thrown in the prison, and then interrogated one by one until they start singing. Okay, so now when I see these exercises, and they've been doing so many plandemic exercises, I say, oh my God, no, 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 not again, not again. And then when you realize it's not for something, you know, because compared to a pandemic where it's a biological terror agent, listen, 9/11 is like a trip to Disneyland, all yeah. right, compared to, yeah. So I got activated back then when I saw them start talking about in the past tense, you know, and the word that I'm trying to, that the word for this is called ideation. You know, what it is the creation of ideas, the projection of them onto society to get them to then adopt those ideas, and they become, you know, a part of their.
Yeah, it's part of television, man. They got, you know, every freaking cop show of whatever, of 24 hour of Be Afraid of Feared of Here It Comes and Get It in yeah. Your Head. It's like manifested. Yeah. You know, you got to get used to it. You got to get conditioned for it. You know, you yeah. got to even understand it. I understand. What is it that they were, you know, we're going to run out of time here in this first segment in about a minute or so, but, you know, let's tease them for the next segment. What were they predicted that happened and that they detailed and what's going on now?
Oh, well, pretty much everything that's going on now, they predicted that there was going to be a massive pandemic. They said in the scenario, I think they said something like 60 million people dying or something like that. But one of the things that you know about this thing is that and one thing that viewers need to know about it is most of the time when they talk about these pandemics, and if you look at all the preparatory memes that have emerged, most of it was about controlling, how to control people's minds, not how to help people. There's very little about how to help somebody who's sick. Everything is about how to control the message, how to make sure we can cut off the internet and get bad people from stop to talking to each other and comparing notes, how to make sure we can get people to think about it the way we want it. You know, Nothing about helping
the social
people.
Distancing thing. We'll talk about that when
From
we come
the
back.
Second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will. So pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at piratswithoutborders.com.
Are you able to hear the break music or anything?
No, I don't hear anything.
You don't hear the break or anything?
No.
All right, Donna, make a note on we need to fix where they can hear the break.
Well, it's okay. I haven't slept in a long time, so I'm going to just take a little bit of a sleep right now. I do a little cat naps.
Yeah, no, so I'm hip. It's just something in the system that we got to take care of.
Which was okay. Amazing. And there was festival.
Do you hear that?
Huntsman freestyling in his usual spot.
I do not
near
hear anything, though.
All right. I got to make sure I turn in the right button here. Let's see. Let me know if you hear any commercials.
I love her. And I heard there was a surprise late night set from the Winterhorn Brothers.
Yeah, right outside the DJ tent. It was an unbelievable flurry of spearsmanship.
I wish I was.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android.
So nothing?
Nothing yet, no.
All right. Well, that's something we got to work on. The when we come back, let's do the continuation of where is this coming from? I know, you know, Rockefeller this and the, you know, my first exposures when, God, it was in the 90s. It was the new Bill of Rights. No, it was something like the, you know, Constitution for the New States of America or some crap like that, that they had done. And they came up with this whole, you know, it wasn't rights, it was privileges granted by, and in the case of emergency, if you got, you know, and I'm going, wow, man, these guys are, they're serious about this.
You're talking about continuity of government?
Nah, it was in the late 70s of the Ford Foundation. Rockefellers came up with this concept of a new Bill of Rights. It was a constitution for the new states of America. You know, if you look it up, it was along the continuation, the same lines. You know, we need to, that damn Bill of Rights is getting in our way, so we need to have some, you know, get out clauses of that, you know, where freedom of speech was a privilege granted by the state kind of crap. Yeah. And when they did this and it's, you know, legitimized by, you know, it's stipulated that, yeah, and then you get between two ages, you know, the technotronic era of America with
Brzezinski.
And
my teacher, that was my mentor at Columbia.
No Brzezinski. Way.
Yeah, he was my teacher. I personally had a friendship with him.
Oh, my God. Well, gee, I wonder if we should talk about that for a second. You know, well, let's bring that up.
He was an interesting guy. I mean,
let's talk about it. Here, we're coming back.
Discord for live chat 24/7 at discord.lrn.fm. That's discord.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back with Harry Vox, VoxNews.com. This is, come to find out, we're talking in the break, and Zbigniew Brzezinski, or however you say it, at Columbia, he was like Harry's mentor. He's, you know, what up, Harry? You know, Zbigniew, what's happening? What was your experience with him? Did it change your view of the world? Are you seeing him as a bad guy, misunderstood? I mean, you know, what's going on?
Well, when I was very young, cable TV first became a fixture in the American household. And I was like many alienated suburban kids, you know. I had a TV set, you know. And this thing came along, C-SPAN. This before everything. And on C-SPAN, you could actually see like congressional hearings and so forth like that. And I remember being very young, watching this guy, Zbigniew Brzezinski, being grilled by none other than Al Gore. And on the other, as a senator, it was a Senate hearing. And the other guy was that a-hole named, who was the vice president under George Bush again? Quayle. Okay. So,
Dan,
but he was
Dan Quayle
is total nothing, a zero guy. And I remember being fascinated by this guy because he seemed to really know what he was talking about geopolitical machination. So I went out and bought his book, Game Plan, which was his book that he was that he had at the time. I was young, pretty young. I had followed Brzezinski for a while, but I had seen him before on TV, and then so I had done some semesters at Stony Brook University, a state university in New York. But then I found out that Brzezinski was at Columbia, and I actually went right to the dean's office of the School of Political, I think they call it International Relations or something was the name of it. And I just impressed upon this dean. I said, I want to take this class. I wasn't really qualified to go there because that particular class was very high level, and it was all like diplomats and ambassadorial type of State Department people in that class. Like literally everyone in that, well, not everyone, but most of the people in that class had suits and ties on. And I was one of the few young persons in there, and I would sit front and center. And Brzezinski was rather nice to the students, you know. He was really friendly and super, you know, helpful, and talked to you about it. I still have my notebooks from those days. And it was actually Barack Obama was in that same class, actually, just quite interestingly.
Okay, wait, time out. So you're in a class, in Brzezinski's class, and you actually saw Barack.
No. I don't remember Barack Obama, but he was in the... I don't remember anybody from that class. I was just...
A class that he had attended or said he did,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, same class. No. Well, Brzezinski taught one class every year, so I don't know what year. I think it was within a year or two. I don't even know if it was the same year. Okay. I would come... I came from Long Island, so I wasn't, you know, I would go to class, sit down. My focus was Brzezinski, not these ambassadors that were there and these State Department people. I didn't know who they were. They were, you know, but I would talk to Brzezinski before. I would get there early. I would talk to him before class and stuff. And I remember he was always quite candid about, you know, like he would, like if I had watched, I remember one time Senator, I think his name was Senator Brock or something, Brock Adams maybe, but there was a couple of Brocks. Anyways, Brzezinski used to say, "Oh yeah, that he was," and he would, and Brzezinski would have been on the night before, and I would have said, "I said, oh yeah, Doctor, I saw you last night on Nightline with Ted Koppel or something," and he said, and he would say, "Oh yeah, that guy's an asshole," or something like that. You know, he's a really candid guy, really friendly guy, and he's super intelligent. He had a great sense of humor. He was always making the students laugh. I mean, he was a great guy. Okay, he's considered to be one of the most evil men on the earth because he is actually kind of like the architect of a lot of the geostrategic machinations of this world, basically, more so than Kissinger, because Kissinger, I think Brzezinski had a more macro view of the world, whereas Kissinger was more, you know, we go into a country and just destabilize it and kill as many people. You know, Kissinger was like a saboteur whereas Brzezinski was like the Grand Chessboard, which was literally his book, another book he did. Yeah, Grand Chessboard. So I've read all his books, and like I say, I have fond memories of the guy. I really liked him, but he's not well liked by, you know, people who are in the.
Well, you know. Does he espouse a philosophy of "we rule you"? I mean, you know, this
not
is,
him, it, not him directly, but you know, one thing I didn't like about it. One thing I was disappointed in him. Well, and I was going to want to interview him, but he passed away before I got a chance about it. But that he never came clean about 9/11. He never, you know, when he would be pressured by people about, so come on, you know that 9/11 was an inside job and stuff. And he would ridicule these people. And I thought, oh, that's, you know, that's really, that turned me off. That was the one thing I didn't like. Because, of course, it's an inside job. And he knows that. He's not stupid. You know, he knows it was an inside job. So to ridicule people who are saying that, I thought was very, that was a turning point in my view of my mentor there. But yeah, he was an influential person.
Well, if you read any of his books or a lot of his contacts and, you know, things that he's done in the administrations and so on, definitely an elite rule to many kind of, we, you know, you're too stupid to do it yourself. We're going to do it for you. And we have the technology to do it. And if we can, we will. He was definitely, if we can, we will guy, you know. And I'm just wondering what the your philosophy is now. You know, I mean, you're looking at the world and you're going, people should what? Organize in some way or not at all? Or
you better believe
what?
It. Of course, yeah. No, the main thing is that people, I mean, we should have organized prior to now, because now it's going to become a lot more difficult to do that.
So, organize in what way? Should there be an organization?
It's
going
to have to be old. I'll tell you how it's going to have to be. We're going to have to go to old-fashioned, low-tech flyers, pieces of paper with addresses on them, address books on your computer, email lists and listservs, all this stuff, because I'll tell you right now, what's coming down the pipe is whole-scale algorithmic suppression of messaging. You won't even be able to say, you won't even be able to type the words "disagree with the government." That won't even make it to the screen. They're going to etch, that's going to be etched into the silicon chip. It's not even going to be a software overlay. It's going to be right baked into the architecture of the transfer control protocols, the communication protocols, let's say, that'll enable the communication between one device and another.
Yeah, it's going to get that bad. We'll be right back. But Harry Vox, voxnews.com. Yeah, it's. I apologize. You can't hear, because it helps when you hear the rejoin and bumper music. You know, that does. But we're still setting up all our mixers and everything, and I didn't know it wasn't going out. What we'll go ahead and do when we get done with this today, it'll take probably a few hours from now, but we'll have the archive up, and Donna will send you a link to the video and the audio, and you do what you want with it. And
sure.
On our site, we have shows by guest, by subject, by whatever. All this is archived forever and always, and even Max's interview. You know, that's, you know, 24 hours from the time that we put up, it's scraped from the internet and put on the servers that they can suck it. And this is what I've been spending a few years on with Derek Slopey, my IT guy, and he told me, I keep going, I need hailing frequencies invisible to the crown. I want pirate communications. I want, you know, to be able, they don't even know that I'm talking to somebody. Oh, but it's encrypted end to end, and they don't. I go, 85% of what I want them not to know is who I'm talking to. And it's like, you know, it's some Liberty guy talking to some Liberty guy about probably Liberty. I mean, you know, that. And what they do is they, Eye of Sauron's in the bay there, you know, mapping out all the pirates as they're flashy lighting, you know, he'll stat in to everybody, and then they see who that guy talks. So you just map out your network. Well, they don't know what you're saying. Who gives a shit? They don't care what you're saying. They want to know who you're saying it to.
They know what you're saying.
Of course
too,
they
though.
Do. Yeah. That's.
I think they want to. They're plenty interested in what you're saying. Trust me on that one. They.
Well, we're pretty open. I don't know. Everybody was like, "You think you're being surveilled since early on?" Man, I got all kinds of back in the day, and I'm going, "Yeah, they have to change the FBI agent every 2 weeks because we keep converting them." But you know, now it's with AI or it's retro. They go back and person of interest requests or the yada yada. I'm so far past. I don't care. You know, we just go out and we become active and then highlight when they try and stop us. And we route around and we do different things. But they are so focused on large platforming and social media that they don't understand exactly what you were talking about. I'm going, when they were doing a lot of the activists, young activists doing the Facebook thing. Oh, Facebook. Guy on Facebook. Oh, we communicate with Facebook. I go, you got their emails? Oh, we don't need to. We got the Facebook. I'm like, what? I go, No, you need to start getting, and I give speeches and presentations on this, go all Harry Vox on them, you know, and I'm like, you know, so what happened is I remember the one that really took it seriously, like James Corbett, you know, he's been really good about it, and Cop Block, Pete and Demo, they were guys doing copblock.org. And
well, I like that site. That was a great site.
Yeah, no, man, we were tight into that. We sponsored their bus and all kinds of crap, man. We've been all over it. And what happened was they started taking it seriously, and they would get people's emails, and they would start because, of course, they're one of the first ones to get banned. You're not allowed. You're like telling truth and stuff. That's so freaking not allowed, especially when it comes to cops and such. So that was the beginning of we could see what was happening, and this is like 10 or something became obvious. Well, those that did what you were talking about and maintained their own databases – accumulated the email, but now our ISPs are doing it. I start getting a lot of complaints. Cox.net, you know, Cox. We're on. I have a Cox email account. You want to forward to Freedom's Phoenix? You know, hell no. Copy, you know, something on a page? Hell no. I mean, it is getting bad. So what's the alternative? Let's go to the street again, man. That's what we're doing.
That's DLive.LRN.FM.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
VoxNews.com. Harry Vox. This is, we're getting plugged in and kind of we're overlapped. See, this is the one thing that I think that they, them, those, the bad guys, they don't realize. There is it's general public opinion. That's it. That's what this whole thing is about. It's to get general public opinion, and usually you can get general public opinion to be scared. You scare them enough, you give them enough, and kind of beat them over the head with it. And it's a, you know, God forbid you have, like, you know, Edge, Microsoft's browser. You open it up, and it's like, oh, my God, it's like turning on CNN, you know? It's, you know, the fear is the mind killer. And they, those. Harry, when I first started doing radio in 03, it'd be, you know, you do the conspiratorial they this, you know, they, who are they, you conspiracist, you tinfoil hat wearing whatever the hell, you know, who are they? And I go, you want to know who they are? I'll tell you who they are. This is how it works. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. That's who they, them, those are. You can identify them by they won't leave you alone. It's no more complicated than that. They won't leave me alone. Why won't they leave me alone? How come I thought the government, you know, that's why the show is Declare Your Independence. The purpose of government, defense of individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish it. It's your right, your duty. Boom, sign me up. You know, that's it. What is the purpose of government? To keep me from being curfewed, to keep me from being locked down, to keep me from having to be scared and all this all the time, to keep me my peaceful assembly there, to keep, you know, me being able to go to church, to keep me from being, you know, to keep me to be able to run my business. That's the purpose of government. When they're the ones not doing it or preventing it or the ones that's imposing this on me, then what the hell good are they? What's the freaking point? The point is to defend my individual rights. They're not. Why, Harry? What is the end goal on this? What's their purpose?
Well, it's too many of us, and we're eating their food. We're drinking their water. We're going to vacation at their locations. I mean, the bottom line is that they think there's just too many, and they want to get rid of a lot of us. And that's why the billionaire class is quite happy about this. So because, you know, not even, and there's actually too many millionaires too for the billionaires. So, you know, it just so you know what where the dividing lines are. It's not even, you know, it's the tiny percentage of the billionaire class against even the millionaires too. So if you have $20 million, sorry, you're not in their club. You're not included in the big boys club. So I think that they have plans on turning the airlines back into the rich, the airlines are going to go back to rich people only, like it was in the 70s and prior to that. I mean, it was not middle class people flying around. No way. Well, maybe by 1975 was when it started breaking. But before 1972, sorry, that was a rich man's club in the sky. And, you know, the vacation spots were for rich people, basically, or you drove there.
You know, I remember when it happened. It was Carter administration deregulated the airlines. You know,
People's Express.
Yeah, whatever it was. Still in high school in the late 70s, but it was deregulation of the airline made it a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. And so now they're going to be a lot more regulated. There already is. It's anal probe. Somebody just told me that you can't fly without a mask now. You got to wear a mask to the airport. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I think so.
That's just a slave badge. Might as well be a Star of David or something. You know, it's compliance thing of, well, I got a bus. I'll get there slower. So that, PiratesWithoutBorders.com. Go check out our spaceship airship. Oh, got to have a pirate ship, man. Top left up there, virtual tour. Go check that out. The one thing that I want to make sure that we get in is what's next. You know, this is, you know, our whole thing has been general public opinion. It's just when everybody goes, you suck, you know, then they lose their power. But they're with the fear, they're combining all their law enforcement and just executive order becomes, you know, policy becomes executive order, becomes law because I said so. I'm the king. You know, this mentality, I don't see how that survives unless the people want it to. And I'm not sure they don't want it. So what happens?
Yeah, that's the best question, is how to reach out to the people. Because, again, if, you know, part of me says that even if 100%, I mean, just that's a hypothetical question, 100% of the people were against it, theoretically, with the infrastructure that they have in place, they can still broadcast messages saying 95% agree with us and only 5 are against it. And and you can turn to your neighbor and say, well, where is this 5%? I have never seen anybody that goes along with this crap. I've never met anybody. But you would literally not have any way of finding out. This is called, there's a dynamic. It's just called the spiral of silence. I can't get into it because we're running out of time. It's a spiral of silence. But basically, theoretically, they have in place, and this is what they're doing. They're creating an infrastructure, whereas the old infrastructure of the manufacturing consent is now going to be really on steroids. It's going to go into the artificial intelligence age, and you see all these networks creating whole botnets, and this is how they do it. So when you're watching Andrew Cuomo give his daily BS report, right, you see all these comments saying, oh, Cuomo for president. Oh, Cuomo's my hero. I want to marry Cuomo. Cuomo's so sexy. And and they repeat themselves. These are all bots, right? And so what they're doing is through bot networks and through their Zionist-controlled mainstream media, they are able to transmit so much of these messages that they condition the soccer moms that are in suburban America who see all this tsunami of fake consent generating messaging, and then they eventually it washes over them and they say, I like Cuomo. I get a warm, comforting feeling from a guy who without the bots and without all that Zionist conditioning, you would say is a creepy jerk and you wouldn't go near him. Same goes for Fauci. Same goes for Gates. Like, Fauci, you take away the fake bots that are saying, oh, Fauci's the sexiest man on the earth. And Atlantic Magazine, you know, the Zionist Atlantic Magazine going, oh, how Fauci. All the women love Fauci.
Okay, you say this. I've had a lot of guys with Zionist this, Zionist that. All right, you got to give me your Zionist thing, man. Go.
Well, our government, Washington, is an Israeli intelligence operation, basically. So pretty much all senators and all congressmen, most intelligence agencies, most in the FBI, most military key personnel work for Israeli intelligence. They're spies for Israel. And so that's why I'm saying you've got to, and that's why the term termite is the correct term. I'm not anti-Semitic. Jews are fine people. They're very, you know, funny, smart, intelligent people. I have no problems with individual Jews. But this Jewish supremacism that has taken over Washington and the Jewish privilege that has taken over our government, our media, our industry, our language has got to get pulled, rooted out, and like we would do with any supremacist movement. You get rid of it, okay? There's no reason why we should have all this hysteria about white supremacists who, frankly, I've never met one, but yet Jewish supremacists is okay, and they could own and control everything in Washington. So I'm saying that if your congressman and your senator is controlled and is a spy for Israel, basically, get rid of them. Get rid of them. And forget this idea of, oh, because a lot of conservatives say, oh, I hate Congress, but I love my congressman. Guess what? Hate your congressman, too.
We're going into break. I mean, he's on a rant. We got him gone, and then we got to wait.
Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The Crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary, I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The Crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The Crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the Crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Yeah, there's some commercials that I need to get into the archive. So that's what I'm doing. Do me a favor. Can you go anywhere on your computer?
Sure.
Go to piratewithoutborders.com. I want you to have access to some goodies here. If you go to freedomsphoenix.com on the left side, you'll see where you can link over to it. But piratewithoutborders.com.
Great name.
We knew. It's a long story, but about a few years ago, it was the pirate party in Iceland got, you know, they go, oh, they didn't win anything. They only got 16% of parliament. I'm like, what? They only got 16% of parliament in the first time? You know, that's definitely a psyop, you know? I was like, you scumbags. So we did piratewithoutborders.com, and we're promotion of decentralization of everything. So
I could speak to decentralization.
Yeah, let's do it. At the top here, you got communication, energy, shelter. It's all the tech. If you click on those, it's the technology that has been decentralizing down to the individual. Now, under communication, top left, you see precariat, take the virtual tour. Just click on that, and you'll see our pirate ship and so on. But underneath the ship, where it says letters of mark on Amazon and online, you go to read the letters of mark online, and these letters is our philosophy on everything. You know, why we raised our black banner, cryptocurrencies and alternative, legal tender kind of thing. The third letter is on hailing frequencies invisible to the crown. You know, the fourth and fifth and sixth, and then we have letters of reprisal, which is, the female character, and Dr. Barber and Captain Kidd. What about the children? You know, so we spent a few years on this. They're short, from 500 to 1,000 word, just boom, this is our philosophy. So this is the manifestation of why we're doing what we're doing the way we're doing it. And then we have these books. And the reason is I go to these different festivals, and especially crypto things, and there's always some venture capital central intelligence going to go to this 13-year-old kid and, how many hookers and green fees and Lamborghinis you want and code for us. And I'm giving them these books going, look, man, leave me a back door or something. I mean, crap. Quit being an
hookers,
enslaver.
Hookers and Lamborghinis, that sounds pretty fun.
I know, especially if you're 14.
Well, mine.
Exactly. So that's how they're going after them. But the, so this is, we're in at a lot of levels. I got to get you plugged in here. All right, here, we're coming back. Here we go.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
No ROADs. I don't need no stinking ROADs. I'm going to need ROADs on the bus, and we're getting ready to go. It's a few days, man. We're going to be on the road. I got one more thing to do and a little bit of light stuff, and Donna's almost finished, and, a lot of the guys coming over and helping. Thanks. Thank you. We're talking with Harry Vox from VoxNews.com, and there's, in this last segment, Harry, what do you want to share with the people? What do you want to do? We're gonna have you on again. We're gonna be back east. We'll get you on the love bus. We're gonna see if we can get you to come some of the festivals and just introduce, say, yo, what's up? Just get kind of plugged, relax in a relaxed environment. Get to meet some new people with some technical abilities and skills and stuff, and get you, this kind of investigative journalist. I invest a lot of my effort and time in promoting people like you, because we need people like you. So there are a lot of people like you that, and they get targeted. You're one of the early ones. Early on, they went, oh, hell no, we don't want no Harry. Well, Harry's back, so we're going to help. Now, how did you launch back on since you came back in January? What do you think it was that started getting you interview requests and so on?
I think just that one video that went viral. Basically, the one where the Rockefeller video, everybody saw that and said, oh my God. So basically, it was just one video.
But where did that come from? How did that get archived up? What was it? Somebody put up somebody something?
No, it's always been up online. It's been up online on my site for 6 years, but nobody's watched it. Everybody thought it was crazy, loony, not really. I think some smart people might have seen it and said, oh my God, that sounds interesting. But since there was no, pandemic at the time, nobody paid attention to it. And then only now, it has more meaning to people, let's say.
Yeah. Now, let me go ahead and look at on the archive today for the show. You go to the top right of freemansphoenix.com. You'll see Declare Your Independence, Ernest Hancock. And you go there, and let's see. We've got a show clip here and float. There it is. Donna's got embedded. Harry Vox spills New World Order scenarios, Rockefeller Foundation 2014. You watch that. Here is a young man trying to warn you. Look, they're telling you exactly what they're going to do. Here it is. Now, she put up John Pilger, a link to him up there, too. Oh, that's good. All right. So this is, what were you warning people of, this particular scenario or the motivation behind it or the people wanting to do it?
The motivation behind it was what I'm talking about.
Which
all
is
the
what?
Time. That they want total control. They're sick and tired of our freedom. So the people who hate freedom are the ruling power structure, which is a very small handful of people that... are able through compartmentalization to get tens of thousands of people to do what they want without them even knowing who they work for and what they're doing. And that's how all these things get effectuated by this compartmentalization. So what we're going through now is we're all acting out this drama that's orchestrated by these think tanks. Even the people in the think tanks aren't privy to the scripts. They're just given a portion of the plan to develop. And you know, I have the archive of a lot of stuff. I'll be putting a lot of it's up. If you go to voxnews.com, not to be confused with vox.com. No, I have nothing to do with vox.com. It is voxnews.com.com, and you'll get the story. And there's all kinds of documents up there. I'll be putting up over 100 documents that show that this pandemic was planned, and a lot of the planning happened from 2005 and then to now, to just before that, where DARPA and Homeland Security is giving instructions to the heads of the military, like the chief of staff of the Air Force, and saying, you prepare a plan for your Department of Defense. You prepare your plan in the event that there's a wide-scale mass pandemic. Okay, Navy, I want your plan within 3 months. You prepare a plan. What are you going to do if there is a wide-scale? You know, I mean, and they did this throughout FEMA, throughout every department, and then suddenly, bam, we have a big plandemic, you know? So, honestly, I think people need to turn to their neighbors, turn to their loved ones, their families, talk to their parents. If your parents are turned on, you talk to your children, because this is going to be a family thing. This is going to be a neighbor-to-neighbor process. This is going to be a person-to-person, brother-to-sister, friend-to-friend, family member-to-family member.
You know, one thing that I'm sharing with people is exactly this, but I always add this is going to be a food thing.
A what?
A food thing. They're going to control us with the access to food. When you're hungry and I need my, you know, government cheese of, you know, whatever, put me in line of the stadium, whatever.
Yes.
This
yes.
is going to be a food thing. They try and control you with fear. They do all that. But if you're being fed, they like electricity, and I don't want to be too hot or too cold. But it all, man, everybody, ooh, it'd be about some food. So give me your food Definitely. Thing. What do you think about the
Well,
food?
I'll say this. Here's how it's going to go. September, they're going to hit us with overhead aerial spraying of or release. They're going to do another release. This is not a naturally – this does not emerge in a Wuhan lab or escape or was a Chinese bioweapon. No. This is U.S.-Israeli intelligence that pulled this stunt on the world to get the jackboot on your face. That's what this is, and make no mistake about it. Okay, they're going to do it in September, but only the one in September is going to be massive. It's going to be followed with blackouts, with food shortages, with cutoff of internet, with poisoned water supplies. You are going to see human suffering emerge so that by November, just in time for the election, which is not going to be, right? By November, there is going to be wide-scale human suffering in the United States, absolutely, positively, because just remember, the ruling class, the billionaire class, the Gates, and all their operatives like Cuomo who work for them, and all these Faucis, they hate your guts, and they hate your family, and they want you dead because there's too many of you, and they have a plan. So get ready, because November, you better be ready for it. And I'm telling everybody right now. So it would be best if we could get these people out of our life. And so don't vote for, if it's a Democratic person, here's a hint. If they're Democratic or Republican, or they're an incumbent, out. Meaning, no more all incumbents, out. Out. Not one, it doesn't matter. Not one vote for an incumbent. All incumbent. They had their chance. They had their chance. And how good did it do? Huh?
Okay,
working out
well, let's talk
Is
about
it working
that.
Out good for you?
Let's talk about that. The act of voting. I'm not seeing this being a political thing. I mean, it may manifest and whatever, but All my political activism was never about voting. It was people paying attention to, you know, giving them information or whatever. Because that's why in 94 and in 06 and in 08, I ran for Secretary of State here in Arizona twice. I've run for Congress several times. I ran against John McCain, U.S. Senate, as a Libertarian. I mean, I'm not afraid. I'm out there slapping them around. But I tell you, it was election fraud. I'm going, that's what got me going. I'm going, this, and now they want to do this mail-in thing and so on. I don't believe the election anyway. I don't give a crap what they say on their computers. So I'm. This is what you were saying before. It's an individual family. Be ready. When we made the decision to, you know, do the bus thing, and we're going through and moving and dispersing all our stuff for the kids, right in the middle of this pandemic thing, we had 11 big 60-gallon barrels full of food that we distributed to our kids. Gee, Dad, did you know you had 3.5 gallons of Purell? Did you know you had hundreds of toilet paper rolls? Did you know you had a bunch of Tampa? I go, no, I didn't really know. But every time since H1N1 they pissed me off, I go buy another bag of beans. Every time they did some stupid thing, there's some more tuna fish. Every time they did, I just kept doing it until, oh, my God, Donna, my wife goes, I don't think we need to go get anything. I go, that was the point. That was the freaking point. So I'm with Harry on this. You need to get ready for it's going to get bad. It's going to get bad. How are you going to deal with it? What are you going to do? How are you going to make sure that the general public opinion of you and people you love and around you is that we got this on our own? You're waiting for them to come save you. That isn't their goal. It is not their goal. You're going to be controlled and get in line, and I got a shot for you.
He's spreading the message of liberty.
There, that's it. That was the end. You can't hear the ending music. See, I told you it was going to go fast, man. That was 2 hours. Boom. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Now, we're still recording archive. Is there any final stuff before I go to my next guest you want to make sure the audience knows?
Well, you had mentioned during one of the previous breaks about centralization, and that's an issue that I talk about a lot between you, so that people understand what's going on in the dynamic of centralization versus the diffusion and decentralization that was occurring with the advent of the internet. So when we had the television networks, it was a very centralized, top-down, you know, one-way road from them to you into your mind. And we only had three networks, which were all homogenized. Okay, so there was a homogenous message, right? Then this internet comes along. And for the first time, basically in human history, it empowered the individual then to be, it was a two-way communication device. And it empowered the individual to actually be a producer. And they could, for relatively no money, okay, so then we had these computers that had towers and screens, and the screens were about this big, right? Well, that didn't work out for the ruling power structure. So they said, no, these screens are no good. We got to get them into smaller apartments, and we want to shrink that screen down to this size. And that's where enter this device. Okay, so with this device, you cannot produce a movie. Okay, or you can try, but it's going to be a hell of a lot more difficult. This is not a tool of creation. This is not a tool of production. This is a tool of consumption only. And so this is back to the one-way road, where it's back to centralization through this. And when this gets too out of control for them, it'll be just a wristwatch. It'll be a smaller screen, okay? And so we go from centralization to decentralization and hypertextuality with the advent of the personal computer. Now we're back to centralization and one-way roads again with the smartphone, which is not so smart, not so fucking smart. Right? Let me say, because we're not on the radio anymore.
You know, this is, for me, it has been pretty obvious what was going to happen. And a lot of times I'll go, Ernie, how did you know? And I'm like, how the hell did you not know? What the hell were you paying attention to? It's like when you did your research and you find it, they'll write it down for you. Hell, they're advertising it to all these agencies. They don't got to go through Congress or Senate or whatever, because I've seen how this is done through the Legislative Exchange Council, American Legislative Exchange Council. It's all this coked or whatever, guys. And what they do is they bring in all these new legislators. They give them a list of all the bills that they want. You pass this or this, you get grant, and you get, and you be, you know, congressman, senator, president someday. The more you can get this scumbag we rule and centralization of, and they just give them a scorecard. And I remember there was a class we had in high school here in Arizona to where you played senators and president and judicial and the SEC, and it kind of just let it go for weeks, this thing, and it was very obvious. Every congressperson, lawmaker had three issues, and your goal was to get your grade was to pass these three issues. Well, they would trade and horse drive. I saw exactly how government worked when I was a senior in high school. I'm going, holy crap, this is how it's playing out. So they got their goal. Well, that's what they do. You know, this is how they play. So these think tanks go and say, here's your goal. Here's your legislation. Exactly. Here's your stuff. Go make it happen. And then those that are successful, you get promoted, you get helped, you get whatever. This is not complicated. It's carrot and stick. And I remember somebody saying one time, they go, you want to see the future of a society, you look at what's rewarded and what's punished. They're rewarding sloth and inactivity and dependency and disability, and they're punishing productivity and innovativeness and all this other. I mean, what the hell did you think was going to happen? You know, I can see it happening. It is amazing. So go ahead and admit her. You know, put her in. The hit the admit button. Judy, we got you.
Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, no, that's Judy. Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah, hold on a second, Judy. We'll be right with you. Harry, this is Dr. Judy Mikovits. I don't know if you've been, you know,
seeing... Hi, I watched your video. Very nice stuff. I was, they might want to include my piece in the next pandemic. That's probably not a bad suggestion.
Yeah, take a look at this, Judy. You go and look at today's archive, and you'll see the October 2014 video that he did warning of exactly what's happening right now.
Rockefeller, it's pretty viral at the moment, and it pretty much lays out the case of what was going to happen, that this whole thing was about imposition of authoritarian control. And this is another one of these ideation exercises that they do to project this onto us to get us to accept, you know, they're calling it predictive programming. That's the wrong term. It's projective ideation is actually the correct term. But that should be included in the next one. And I tried to make I tried to reach out to the producer of the film, because I think he's going to be he's going to need that for the next one, for sure.
Yeah, take a look at it. We'll make sure it gets spread. Yeah, Harry, that's why we're having you on. Get you, you know, plugged
back
in.
But you did a great job, by the way, Doctor. You're really laying it out. And the fact that they hate you so much means you're the right. The fact that literally every single of these slimy Zionist media organizations say she's lying. I tell people, you know how you could tell what the truth is? When every single one, without any deviation, says it's a lie, that's how you know that's the good stuff.
Yeah, why would they have to have everybody say it's a lie if it's a lie? It's amazing. You know,
It would be self-evident.
Yeah,
we say he doth protest too much.
Right.
They play their hand.
That's for damn Skippy.
But one suggestion, though, in the next one, no more slow motion intros walking across bridges in slow motion. People's attention span is like a gnat. You've got to put in all the hooks in the first 30 seconds, or else you lose the soccer moms of America in the first 30 seconds. They see slow motion. We are not in a slow motion world anymore.
Well, Judy is not. She's not the filmmaker.
She's in contact.
Okay. No, I think so. I'm going to see Billy tomorrow. I'll make sure we talk.
Harry Vox. I'm all. It's easy to find me.
Okay, we got 10 seconds before we got to get back. Harry, thank you very much. We're going to have you back soon, man.
Awesome.
Peace, brother. Bye. Ciao. We'll have the archive to you in a little bit. Bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. Redo it.